Today's daf is Baba Basra daf Ayin. We left off in daf Samach Tes on the Beis. We're in the middle of discussing different lashonos that a guy might say when he's selling a field that has trees in it, and we're trying to figure out whether he's selling the field with the trees, whether he's excluding the trees, whether he has to buy trees from elsewhere, to whether the whole thing is a mekach taos because there aren't any trees, etc. So we were giving various examples of different lashonos that someone would use. Just before I forget, not only am I away for Shabbos, so I'm not going to be here tomorrow, I'm away Sunday as well. So there will be no daf yomi shir on Sunday. We'll pick up on Monday from the beginning of the next parak, from the beginning of the fifth parak. We have wild Agadah Gemara at the beginning of next week that it's not even enjoyable stories. It's just very, very difficult to understand Agadah Gemara. So we'll work on that starting Monday, Be'ezras Hashem. But anyway, back to us. We were four lines from the bottom of the page. So Amar Lei on Samach Tes on the Beis. Amar Lei, if he said to him, Levar me ilane, he says, I'm selling you this field except for the trees. So Iyisle ilane levar me ilane. If there actually are trees in the there are ilanos, so then the ilanos are excluded from the sale. Iyisle dikli levar me dikli. If there are dikalim, if there are palm trees in the field, so then we assume that's what's being excluded, rather than any other normal trees, any other fruit trees. We assume it's the dikalim that are being excluded. Right? It says the Rashbam Iyispe dikli ba husada ve'ein bo shari ilanos viu amale levar me ilane. Even though he said a lashon levar me ilanos, but there are dikalim and not ilanos in the field. Vade levar me ilane machar sada v'hanu dikalim shir la'atzmo. So certainly he means to keep the dikalim for himself. The alpha gav the in stomach kruyan ilanos. Aye, but an ilan and a dekel are not normally referred to the same way. You normally refer to a dekel as a dekel. You don't refer to it as an ilan. Ela regilin hoy lekrosin dekalin mitol chashivuson. Since a dekel is so chashuv, you wouldn't just refer to it as an ilan. You would refer to it as a dekel. When we talk shayi rov ilanos shel and dekalim, keeping the inkan shari ilanos el dekalim hay dekam levar meilani ad dekalim kai. No, but over here when he said levar meilani and there are no other ilanos besides for the dekalim. So he must mean besides for the dekalim. So it's not that the term ilan can't mean a dekel. It's that usually it means other types of trees. But if it's clear from the circumstance that it's referring to a dekel tree, so then it's referring to the dekalim. We don't say that it's like he spoke about something that doesn't exist. I isle gufni, so levar mi gufni. And if there are gufanos in the field, he said, so then it means to exclude, even if there are gefanos and no other kinds of trees in the field, so then he must be trying to exclude the gefanos and nothing else, because the gefanim also, even though we generally refer to it as gefanim, we would not refer to it as an ilan, but if that's the only kind of tree that he's got there is a grapevine, so then we assume that that's what he meant. So then the Gemara says, what? Ilane v'gufni levar me'ilane. What if he has in the field both ilanos and gefanim? So then what does he mean to exclude when he says levar me'ilane? Well, that's easy. He probably means to exclude the ilanos, because which one is more likely referred to when he says levar me'ilane? The one that's actually called an ilan and not a gefen. Ilane v'dikli. What if he has both ilanos and dekalim in the field and he says levar me'ilane? Also, it's an easy one. Levar me'ilane. Right? He said levar me'ilane, so we assume that he referred to what we call an ilan and not what we call a dekel. Gufni vidikli, what if he doesn't have anything that's called an ilan, but he has gefanim and dekalim in the field? Which one do we assume he means when he says levar me'ilani? So then we assume he means levar me'gufni. When it's gufni vidikli, we assume he means to exclude the gefanim and not the dekalim. If you look at the Rashbam, gufni vidikli levar me'gufni, I amale levar me'ilani ve'in besada ela dekalim gufanim, he said, I'm going to sell you everything except for the ilanos, except there are no ilanos, there are only dekalim gufanim. Had dekalim machar, Vagafanim shi'er. He has sold the dekalim and he meant to exclude from the sale the gefanim. Why? The gefanim legabe dekalim nikrayim ilanei. Because which one is more likely to be called an ilan? The gefanim are more likely to be called an ilan than the dekalim are. Ubechlal ilanei hein tfei midikli kein nir be'enai. He says that's what it seems to me to be the correct pshat. V'yesh mefarshim de'ein zev zev bechlal ilanei. But some say no, neither the dekel nor the gefen are ever called an ilan, and none of them is closer to being an ilan than the other. Like we just said, the pshat is that the gefen is closer to being called an ilan, is more likely to be referred to as an ilan than a dekel is, but this Yesh Mufarshim says, no, that's not true. And we just have to pick something that he was Mishayer, because he clearly meant to be Mishayer something, but it's like Ki'ilu, we said, except for the roller coaster. But there's no roller coaster in the field, so we'll say, oh, he probably just meant to keep whatever is the nicest thing left in the field. Even though it bears no resemblance to a roller coaster, it's a tree. It has nothing to, right? So Ilan means nothing like Dekalogafanim. It's something totally different. Velonihira, but says Rashbam that pshat is totally incorrect. Because if really they both had the same status, meaning neither of them was an ilan more than the other, that neither of them was ever referred to as an ilan, and the guy said, we should say that he's keeping everything. Because if he's referring to ilanos, and there are no ilanos, and neither one is more likely to be referred to as an ilan than the other, then probably he's being megala that he refers to everything as an ilan. In his vocabulary, ilan means anything that grows above ground in the field. So he's probably being mishayer everything for himself in that field. There's no reason to choose one over the other just because it's more valuable. Adrabah, he probably means everything. So the Rashbam says that second interpretation is incorrect. Rather, stick with the first pshat, that a gefen is much more likely to be referred to as an ilan than a dekel is. Amar Rav, kol shalom lo b'chevel havishir. This is a new statement. Amar Rav, right? The Rashbam points out at the bottom, Hach yarsin Amar Rav, kol shalom ule elkoi. This is going back on what we said way before. Hechadam le levar me ilane, ukum farish Rav, elu hein ilano shashir. In general, when you say levar me ilane, we want to know what is called an ilan, so we're saying these are the ilanos that you mean to leave over and keep for yourself. Meaning we're not talking about Ilan versus Geffen, Ilan versus Dekel now. We're going back to Stam. You have a field that has Ilanos. You say Levar Me Ilane. Which trees are already considered Ilanos and which trees are just saplings? They're not even Ilanos yet. And therefore, they are included in the sale. So that's what we're trying to be Magdir. What is considered a significant enough tree that we assume you're excluding it from the sale when you say Levar Me Ilane? So Rav says, Kol Shalom L'Bechevel HaVishiur. Anything that's tall enough that the only way to climb it is by using a rope to be able to climb to the top of it, so that's considered to be a shiur, that's considered to be a chashuv enough tree, that's excluded from the sale. Kol she'en lo b'chevel lo avishir. But anything that you don't need a rope to climb is not considered significant enough to be a shiur. Why would you ever want to climb the tree? So Rashbam says, the lake pirosov chashuv, right? You climb to pick the fruits. So if you need a rope to climb, then it's chashuv ilan, then it's considered an ilan. But the Rashbam points out, the Gemara is going to say soon that clearly we must be referring to a dekel tree. We must be referring to a palm tree because that's where the fruits grow very high. If you ever went apple picking or peach picking or any, the fruits grow very low. Those trees aren't particularly high. You don't need to climb the trunk of the tree in order to get the fruits very often. What tree do you need to climb in order to get the fruits? Dafka dekel. So how big of a dekel is considered a significant dekel, something that you would need to use a rope in order to climb it to reach the fruits. The Dayane Gola Amri, and the Dayane Gola, who are the Dayane Gola? They seem anonymous over here, so as we've pointed out in the past, the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Yud Zayin identifies all the anonymous shitos in Shas, not all of them, but most of them, that whenever you have Hahu Saba, right, what does Hahu Saba mean? So the Gemara identifies who is referred to in Shas when we refer to all these vague terms, when we refer to people by these titles. So over here, Rashbam points out, Dayane Gola are Shmuel Vikarna Biparakam to Sanhedrin. In the first paragraph of Sanhedrin, it identifies the Dayane Gola as Shmuel Vikarna. Why is that significant right now? Because we're going to not only discuss the particular halacha under discussion now, which clearly relates to our parak, once we mention Dayane Gola, the whole Amud Beis is going to be about a halacha that has absolutely nothing to do with our parak at all, but is simply brought here because it's something that Dayane Gola spoke about as well. The sheet of the Dayane Gola is going to be mentioned. So this is the Dayane Gola daf. So anyway, Dayane Gola Amri, Kol Sha Ol Kovsho Lavishir, Kol She'eno Ol Kovsho Havishir. Anything that when the animal is walking by with the yoke and the yoke presses against the tree, that the tree gives it bends a little bit in from the pressure of the yoke. So then that tree is such a young tree, such a young sapling, would not be considered a tree yet, and therefore you do not mean to keep it for yourself when you say levar meilane. It's certainly included in the sale. But whenever eina ol kovsho, whenever the tree is strong enough to withstand the pressure that the yoke pushes of the yoke pushing against it, so then we consider that a strong and significant enough tree, and therefore we assume you are excluding it from the sale when you say levar meilane. So are they arguing? Meaning, on the one hand, Rav says that we measure the significance of a tree by using a rope, by determining whether you need a rope to climb it. And the Dayan Egola seems to say, Shmuel seems to say, not so, that that it's all about whether the yoke presses against the tree. Says Maravalo Pligi, Habidikli Habilane. They're not arguing at all. Rav was talking about a dekel tree. And by a dekel tree, you need to climb in general to get the fruits. Shmuel, the Dayan Egola, Shmuel and Karna, we're talking about an ilan. And says Rashbam, just to fill in the details over here, Habi ilane sha'ol kovsho, d'shir da'aliyas chevel lo shayach b'hu. Meaning, Shmuel and Karna would have loved to say the shir of what's considered a significant enough tree that you need a rope to climb it. The only thing is that doesn't make any sense when you're talking about an apple tree. Why? Maybe it needs to be a really tall apple tree that you need to climb. No, because the below chevel olin, b'kol shar ilanos al yidei anafim ha-mispasim l'kol tzad. Meaning, even if there was, even if you don't need a rope, but even if it's very tall, you still wouldn't need a rope to climb an apple tree because it has branches all over the place. Most trees have branches that protrude from the sides, and you're able to climb using the branches. So you would never use a rope in the first place. The only tree you would ever need to use a rope is a dekel tree. You can have the tallest tree in the world, but you still won't need a rope if it's not a dekel tree, because you have all the other branches to use as steps to climb the tree. V'shiur d'kvish asol nami ikal emeimad al shayach b'dikli. Plus, the idea of kvishas ol, of the yoke pressing against it and whether it gives way or doesn't, is not shaykh to say by a dekel tree. Dafilu hechad the kavish le'ol chashiv hu im olin lo b'chevel. Because even if the ol causes it to bend a little bit, it would still be chashiv if it's so tall that you need to use a rope in order to climb it. So neither shear would work for the other kind of tree. Okay, so they're both saying the same thing. They both agree in terms of what's considered a big enough tree when you say levar meilani to be excluded from the sale. Period. Rav Acha bar Huna mirav Sheshes. Rav Acha bar Huna asked from Rav Sheshes the following shayla: Chutz mecharav ploni, chutz misadan ploni mahu. What if you say that I am selling you this field except for this particular charav, this particular sadan? Now, in general, when you just say I'm selling you a field, is the charav included? Is the sadan included? So we had in our Mishnah that if the charav and the sadan are very young, so then they are included in the sale. But if the charav is already one that you graft from, and the sadan is also an older sadan, so then we assume that it's not included in the sale. The Rashbam pointed out yesterday that it's considered a sadah b'fnei atzmo. It's like having another field that's right next to that field, so it's absolutely not included in the sale. So which one are we talking about now? When you specify that everything except for a charav ploni, sadan ploni, are we talking about a charav and a sadan that are young and normally would be included in the sale? Are we talking about one that is old and would not be included anyway? So the Rashbam again fills in the details. Chutz mecharav hamurkav ploni, chutz misadan hashikma ploni, v'hayi ba harbe charuvin v'sadna mahu. Meaning we're talking about mature, older trees, which anyway would have been excluded from the sale. So what's the din when you specifically say that you want one of them excluded from the sale? What does that say about the rest of them? Had you said nothing, all of them would have been excluded from the sale. By saying that you want one of them excluded from the sale, does that mean to say that you only want one excluded from the sale, but the others you're okay including in the sale, even though normally they're not included? So the Rashbam spells out both tzadim of the shayla. Mahu, de'im hava shasek lo yimachur klal sada. If bechal sada, if you would have been quiet, you wouldn't have said anything. So none of these types of trees would have been included in the sale. Avla achshav shashir echad. But now that you left one of them out, ikle meimer d'shar karuven machar. Machalo. Maybe the other ones, maybe you mean to include the other charuvin in the sale. Oh, Dilmer, maybe no. Shire lo yigra kocho. It can't be that when you say except for something, that it means you're coming to sell more things than you otherwise would have sold. Meaning the lashon of being mishayer is I'm selling this field except for implies that you're trying to hold back. Not that you're trying to be more generous. So if you're going to say that I have 10 such trees in the field, had I said nothing, I would have been able to keep all of them, none of them would be sold to you. And now that I say except for one of them, that means I'm giving you 9 of them. So that's very difficult to say. Whenever you're Meshayer, it's always not to be Megareya Kocho, it's always as a Yifoy Koach. Elafilu Shar Charuvinami Lokani. And therefore, you're not Kona any of them. Lokani Alokach. To Beshil She Yifa Mochres Koach Shalo, Shepirish Beferish, Ain any Mochelach Ahu Charuv, Ainlon Aligra Kocho Beshar. Just because he's Miyapa Koach in one tree doesn't mean that we should go and be Megareya his Koach in all the other trees. So what do we do though? Meaning, had he not said anything anyway, he would have gotten to keep this tree. So why is he saying this? So what we have to do is, like we said earlier in the Masechta, we have to translate whatever he's saying as meaning that he's trying to keep some benefit that he would not have otherwise received. So we have to find some benefit that he otherwise would not have been able to retain and give that to him, because that must be what he means. So maybe what he intends to do when he says chutz mizeh is not that he's keeping the tree. Of course he's keeping the tree. The tree is not included in the sale anyway. What he means when he says except for this tree, he means he doesn't want to have to purchase the derech to get to that tree either, that he wants the derech to belong to him as well. Vafil the rabbanon. What about the rabbanon who say he gets the derech also? Anyway, vafil the rabbanon nami yikal meimar l'ficha chamar chutz micharav ploni t'vahu charav hayichaf etziosav loy rotsa sheid ve'enu lokeach l'din ulucharav zeh yichavin l'shuf v'dishtara. What if you hold like the rabbanon that anyway he's going to be entitled to the derech, so he doesn't need to say chutz from this tree in order to be entitled to the derech? So even according to them, you have to say that he only identified this tree because he has a special, he really likes this tree, and he's afraid that if he doesn't identify the tree and doesn't say chutz from this tree, even though he knows halachically he's allowed to keep all the trees, but the lokeach could still bring him to Beis Din and make a whole case out of it, a whole story out of it, and he doesn't want to have to deal with it. So he wants to do what we call the Yasreya Shufra Deshtara. Even when you're halachically right, it's still not foolproof, because even when you're halachically right, there are Batei Din that don't know what they're doing. There are Batei Din that know what they're doing and make mistakes. So you have to, in order to make it absolutely foolproof, to make sure that no Beis Din is ever going to take this away from you, so because he likes this tree so much, he dafka identified this tree. But the halacha is that all of the trees he gets to keep. He just wasn't choshish to write a shuf for the shtara for the other trees. Right? Because he knows that the halacha is that he gets to keep those trees anyway. He identifies this tree in particular because he really doesn't want to have to deal with any with any issues regarding this tree. Okay, so back in the Gemara, barhuna merav sheshes chutz micharav ploni chutz misad and ploni mahu. So what's the din when he says chutz micharav ploni chutz misad and ploni? Also charav udulokani yashar charav mkani adul mashar charav nami lokani. Is he specifically saying I don't want to include this tree in the sale, but all other similar trees are included in the sale, which otherwise would not have been included had he kept his mouth shut? Or do we assume that he doesn't mean to include any of the trees in the sale? Amrlei lo kana. So he said that the answer is like the second side. None of the trees are included in the sale. Eisvei asked the Gemara, wait a second. Chutz mecharav ploni, chutz misad ploni, lo kana. We have a brisa that says that when you say chutz mecharav ploni, chutz misad ploni, you're not kona. So what does it mean you're not kona? My love also charavu de lo kana, hashar charavim kana. Doesn't that mean that the guy's not kona, specifically the one you identified to exclude from the sale, but all the other charuvin, he would be kona? So don't tell me that you're not kona any of them. It seems from here you are kona the rest of them. Amalei lo. I feel the shach ruven nami lo kana. No, who says you're kona the rest of them? It says that you're lo kana. Lo kana means you're not kona any of them. Okay. Teda, and I'll just bring you a very simple logical proof that you're not kona any of them. Let's say I tell you, I'm selling you my house, right? I'm selling you my house here on Longacre Avenue. Chutz misada plonis, except for my house in Yerushalayim, if I happen to own a house in Yerushalayim. Right, so does that mean that if I own a house in Long Beach, that you're kona my house in Long Beach? No, you made a kid. I'm clearly only selling you this house. The whole negotiation was about this house. The whole kinyan is only on this house. Just because I identify a particular, another house of mine that I, or another field of mine that I'm that, that for some reason I want to mention that that is not included in the sale, it doesn't mean everything else I own is included in the sale. Right? You can't be medayik that way. That just because I tell you if I own five houses and I tell you I'm selling you this one and not that one, it doesn't mean that the others are being sold to you. Clearly, they're not being sold to you, right? So, you think you're kona the others? No, lo kona, you're certainly not kona the others. Hakanami lo kona. So over here as well, meaning this is where the Rashbam got the idea from, that we look at each tree, at each of these mature, older trees, as if they are their own sada. How do we know that? The Gemara, because when the Gemara gives a mashal for understanding the case of the trees, it gives a mashal of different fields. So even though the tree may be physically located in the field, we view it as if it's its own field. So if there are five trees in this field, each one is considered their own field. So when I tell you I'm selling you this field, chutz from tree number one, what I'm really saying is I'm selling this field and not another field that I own. So obviously I'm not selling you any of the other fields that I own either, not just the one that I mentioned. The Ikadamri, others have the following version of the discussion. That Baimin Ravacha Bar Huna Merav Sheshes, Chutz Mechatzi Charov Ploni, Chutz Mechatzi Sadam Ploni Mahu. What's the din if I don't say Chutz from this tree? I say Chutz from half of this tree. Now, what are we assuming if I were to say Chutz from this tree? Right, the assumption is that it's Pashut that if I say Chutz Mechatzi Ploni, that I'm excluding everything and that you don't get any of the trees. Right? Now we're saying, but does it make it worse for the seller if he says chutz from chatzi of this tree? Sharcha ruvin vaday lo kani. Now, in terms of the other trees, we already said that for sure is not included in the sale. But what about the other half of this tree? Hamashashir ba'osul charav kani. Should we say that if I'm telling you that I'm selling you this field except for half of this tree? Why did I say except for half of this tree? Does that mean to say that you are being kona the other half of this tree, that I'm not being mishayer from the sale? Or maybe even that which I'm excluding, that which I left over from my exclusion, you're also not kona. Even though I said I'm selling this field except for the right half of this tree, maybe you're not kona the left half either of this tree, just like you're not kona any other tree. I'm like lo kani. He said no, he's not kona anything. But we say that when you say chutz from half of this tree, you're not kona all of the other trees. But what does that imply about the other half of this tree? My love, sharcha ruven udalakana hamash shir bosu charav kana. Doesn't that mean to say that you're not kona all the other trees, but you are kona the other half of this tree that I was not explicitly mishaya, that I did not explicitly leave out of the sale? So I'm like, well, I feel much shir b'sukhar v'nami lo kana. No, who said? Maybe when I say that I'm selling you my field except for the right-hand side of tree A, you're not kona tree B, C, D, and you're also not kona the left-hand side of tree A. You're not kona anything. Teda, and I'll prove to you that that's correct. Di'ilu amalei sade mechurlach chutz michatzi sade ploni. Again, go back to our selling houses case. I own five houses, one in North Woodmere, one in Long Beach, one in Eretz Yisrael, one in Florida. Fine, so I tell you, I am selling you my house in North Woodmere, except for half of my house in Yerushalayim. So does that mean you're kona the other half of my house in Yerushalayim? That was never part of the sale. It's a totally separate thing. So, ha-hu-hu de-lo kona, ha-idach kona. Why, you think he's not kona only what I said except for, but you're kona everything else? No, lo kani. Clearly you're not kona the other half of my house in Yerushalayim either. Ha-chanami lo kani. So here as well, you're not kona the other half of the tree. Fine, period. Now the Gemara gets into a completely, completely unrelated discussion, and this unrelated discussion is here only because Dayanei Gola show up in this discussion. That's what I mentioned before. This is the Dayanei Gola daf. We're just mentioning two cases where Dayanei Gola had a role in determining what the halacha is. So, Frankie asked the Gemara Shaila, Boy, Rav Amram Rav Chista, Hamafkid Eitzel Chaveru B'Shtar. Let's say you give someone a pikadon and you write a shtar that you gave him the pikadon. Why did you write a shtar that you gave him the pikadon? Because says the Rashbam, you just don't want the guy that you gave the pikadon to ever say lahadam, to ever say lahaydvar me'el, I mean, it never happened, you never gave me a pikadon. So in order to avoid complete denial, you write a shtar that there was an actual pikadon, there were edim there that saw that you gave him a pikadon. Fine, so that's what you did. You gave him a pikadon using a shtar. And then you go and you say, okay, I want my pikadon back. After some time, you're ready to take your pikadon back. So you go over to the guy and you say, I want my pikadon back. And he says to you, what are you talking about? I already returned the pikadon to you. So mahu, is he believed? Right? Normally, when there's no shtar, he's definitely believed. Right, but over here there's a shtar. Does that make it worse? Because you have a shtar that says that there's a pikadon. Do we say, well, after all, whenever you have a pikadon, you're patur anonsin. However the pikadon comes to you, whether it's your shomer chinam, shomer sachar, whatever it is, you're patur anonsin when it comes to a pikadon. So maybe since you could have said, yes, you're right, you gave me a pikadon, I never returned it to you, but an onus happened, it was struck by lightning, and therefore it got destroyed, so it's gone. So since you would have been believed had you said that, so maybe you should be believed to say that you returned it as well. It's a simple migo. So Ashnami Mehemin, Odilma, or maybe Amalei Shtarach Biyadi Mai Bayi. Or maybe you can say, what are you talking about? That you'd be believed with a migo. But bottom line is, right now I have a shtar that says that you have my pikadon. If you really, you're not claiming that an onus happened. You could have claimed an onus happened. What you're claiming is that you returned it. If you really returned it, you likely would have asked for the shtar back so that I don't go and claim it a second time. Why do I still have the shtar if you really returned it? Meaning, the way the Rashbam understands this is that it's migo b'makom edim. That the shtar is considered like edim. The fact that I still have the shtar is considered like edim that you didn't return it. So you could say from today till tomorrow, you could sit here telling me, insisting how you returned it. Bottom line is, I know that you didn't return it. We have edim that you didn't return it because the edim are the fact that I still have the shtar. Right? That's how the Rashbam says. Come on, mali l'shaker makom edim dami v'larmin mali l'shaker. So what's the din? So says the Gemara, amalei mehemin. So he says the answer is you are believed to say that. You are believed to say that you returned it. Aye, v'leimle shtarcha biyadi mai bayi. But what about shtarcha biyadi mai bayi? Isn't that a good taina? Right? That what's the shtar doing in my hand if you still returned it? He says, yeah, but when you say it was nanas, can you say shtarcha biyadi mai bayi? You can't. Meaning ones is an ones and that's it. Now, true, by the case of ones, it's not shayach shtarcha biyadi mai bayi because. Yeah, I'll answer why shtar. I never returned it. That's why you still have the shtar. It was an ones. So what do you mean? What kind of response is that? I mean, if the whole shaila, the whole question of the Gemara is about migo b'makom edim, then it's a problem that, yes, we know you could have said a claim that you would have been believed. But the claim you are saying is against edim. So bottom line is, we can't believe this claim because the claim you are saying is against edim. We haven't really addressed that. Because at the end of the day, yes, we know that you'd be believed with Nanas, and there's no time of Sharchal Biyadi Mai Bayi, but that's not what you're saying. You're saying that you gave it back, and to that we have Sharchal Biyadi Mai Bayi, which is as good as Edim. So how does this really answer anything? So the Rashbam has to really push his way through this, and he says he has to add in some things that the Gemara doesn't say. Ul Tamech, and the bottom line of the Rashbam, the bottom three lines, Ul Tamech, Ilu Amalei Nansu, Hilkach Lamatzi Lamitan Mafkid Sharchal Biyadi Mai Bayi, Lamali the shakar b'makom edim lo dami the ha'avid inish the midchi va'amar avaditi eshtari v'nifka nami lo v'chayish l'shtari mishum davi matzli l'mifter nafshe b'tainas ones. So he sort of adds in a few factors. He says, no, I'll answer shtar chal b'yadim. I'll tell you why the shtar is still in your hand. Because when I returned the pikadon, you told me you lost the shtar. You told me you didn't have it anymore. So I wasn't going to make a big deal out of it. Why wasn't I going to make a big deal out of it? Because after all, I knew that I always had an out. That even if you still had the shtar and you were going to pull it out, I could always just say that it was nanas. So since I knew that I always had the ability to make the tain of nanas, I didn't make a big deal out of the shtar. But he certainly needs some explanation of shtar chabiyadi mai bayi. Because if he has no explanation of why the shtar is still in the hands of the mafkid, he's going to be in trouble. That's migo b'makom edim. So the Rashbam has to add into the Gemara. The Gemara never says it. He has to add into the Gemara that he has an explanation. It's that you claimed you lost it. At the time that I returned it, you claimed you lost it. Again, it's adding a lot into the Gemara. What if Reuven lends Shimon money and there's a shtar. So can Shimon just say, I returned it? And Reuven says, what are you talking about? I got a shtar. So Shimon will say, well, I returned the money, but you claimed you lost the shtar. Can you say the same vart? He says, no, you can't say that over there. Because when it comes to a loan, if I borrow money from you, and then there's an onus that happens that causes me to lose the money, I get mugged and the money gets taken away from me, I still have to pay you back the money. So because I know that, when you say that you lost the shtar, if I return the money, when you say you lost the shtar, I'm not going to be okay with that. I'm not going to return the money unless I get a shtar back or I get a receipt written. Because if you say that you lost the shtar, I know that if you pull out that shtar tomorrow, I'm in trouble. I'm not going to be able to claim Ne'anas. It's dafka because you have the claim of Ne'anas over here by Pikadon that you're going to have the confidence of returning the money even though you're not receiving a shtar in return. That's how the Rashbam understands the give and take of the Gemara. Tosos says it can't be. Tosos, v'leim alei shtarchu b'yadi mai bai, lav mishum t'lavi migo makom eidim. He says, shtarchu b'yadi mai bai is not about amigo b'makom eidim. Kaparach dim kein, mai mishani l'tameich. Because Tosos struggles with that same issue. If it were about migo b'makom eidim, then what's the Gemara answering? Meaning it's still migo b'makom eidim. So the Rashbam had to add in this whole detail of how you're going to respond to shtarchu b'yadi mai bai. But if shtarchu b'yadi mai bai is considered eidim, then ulu taimech doesn't really answer anything, because all the ulu taimech does is say that when you say nansu, so you would be believed. That's fine, but now that you're saying that you returned it, it's against eidim. So kiamle nansu mimatzi yamle shtarchu b'yadi mai bai hakiam nansu lav mucha milsa delav kushta kamar dafli shashar b'yadi yachol yosh nansu. By nansu it doesn't make sense. Shtarchu b'yadi mai bai is not a taina, because by nansu doesn't go against shtarchu b'yadi mai bai. I'll tell you exactly why shtarchu b'yadi mai bai when it comes to nansu. The reason why the shtar is in your hand is because I never returned the money. It was nanas. Ella Omer Ri, so the Ri says, no, Pshat in the Gemara is like this. The Salka Daituch de Maksha, the Hadakamer de Neman, Neman Lagamri Kamer Afilu Bel Shvua. No, we assume when he says Neman, it means he's completely believed, without even taking a Shvua. Ulukacha Yisavar de Belav Migo de Nansu, Matzi Lememar, Hichsarti Lach. And therefore we thought even without the Migo of Nansu, he'd be believed to say that he returned it. The Iyal Yidei Migo de Nansu, Amai Neman Bel Shvua. Because if it were totally based on the Migo of Nansu, you would need a Shvua. Because when you say that it was Nanas, you would need to take a Shvua. So that's why we're asking, but wait a second, what about Shtarchu B'yadi Mai Bayi? Mishani, and the Gemara answers, Dimitam Migo Neman. That no, it's a dip. I mean, Shtarchu B'yadi Mai Bayi is not Eidim. It's certainly not Eidim. It's just another Raya, one way or the other. So Shtarchu B'yadi Mai Bayi means that your Taina that you returned it is not a good Taina, because I still have a Shtar. But once you say it's amigo, so good, you still have a shtar, but I have amigo, so I have a koch ne'amanus of amigo, so I'm going to be believed even though you don't have a shtar. So that's the Gemara's answer. And then the Gemara's next step is saying, well, wait a second, what kind of amigo is that? Believe me that I say I returned it, so you should just believe me straight up that I returned it. Amigo that I could have said it was nanas. But if I would have said it was nanas, I would have had to take a shvua. So what kind of amigo is that? The reason I'm not, what's the whole yisod of migo? Is that if I wanted a lie, I would have told a more convenient lie, a better lie. But this, nanas is not a better lie, because I would have had to take a shvua if I said nanas. And you tell me I don't have to take a shvua when I simply say I returned it. So I'm a lay, so that's the Gemara's next kasha. Sof. Ki amr lay nansu, lav shvua bai? When you say that it was nanas, don't you need to take a shvua? So answers Gemara, hakanami, my naman, naman b'shvua. No, over here also, when you say that you returned it, that's what you mean. You mean that when we say he's believed, when he says he returns it, it means he's believed with the Shvuah. Now, this tzad that you could say, Shtarchu B'yadi Mai Bayi, Tosa struggles with the Gemara Ksuba Staf Yates. The Gemara Ksuba says that if Modu B'shtar Shekasvu, if you admitted that you had written a shtar that says you owe money, Tzarech L'kaimo, you need to be M'kaim the shtar, U'mehemen Lova Lomar, De Peruahu. That the lover, the borrower, is believed to say that the shtar was paid up. V'lo amar im kein shtarcha b'yadi mai bayi. And we don't say that shtarcha b'yadi mai bayi. So Frek tells us, why does the Gemara assume shtarcha b'yadi mai bayi is a valid taina over here? The Gemara in Ksubas assumes shtarcha b'yadi mai bayi by a case of a lover and malda is not a valid taina, right? That he's believed to say that it's perua. So says Tosos, over there, when it comes to borrowing money from somebody, so the guy who's borrowing the money typically is the guy who's borrowing the money typically is the one who has to pay for the shtar, Because after all, why should the guy lending the money, he's doing a teva, he's doing a chesed for somebody, why should he have to pay for the writing of the shtar? So the guy who's borrowing the money is typically the one that has to pay for the shtar. Now, if the guy borrowing the money did not pay for the shtar, so even when he paid the money back, but he still owes the money for the shtar, so sometimes the malva will hang on to the shtar just as collateral for the money to pay for the writing of the shtar. So the fact that someone has the shtar in the case of malva v'lova is not really an issue, because it's up to the lover to pay for the shtar, and sometimes you hang on to it for the pshita d'sarfa. And sometimes the malva laid out the money, he's waiting for the lover to pay back that money as well. Aval hacha, ein ala nifkad litein schar. But over here, who's the one that writes the shtar? I'm asking you to watch something for me, right? So you don't have to. You're doing me a tova. You don't have to watch the shtar if you don't have to pay for the shtar. Rather, if I'm asking you to watch something for me, and therefore there's no such thing as hanging on to it for pshita d'safra. So since there's no hanging on to it for pshita d'safra, there's going to be a tiny of shtar chubiyadi my bayit. There's no other reason I would still have the shtar if you already paid it back. So that's why shtar chubiyad my bayi is a more valid taina. Furthermore, Tosa says over here the lova is not going to be so medaktek after the malva to make sure that he gets his shtar back from the malva, because the lova knows the malva is a nice guy. Meaning the malva helped him out in his time of need. When the lova needed money, the malva gave him money. So he sort of has this trust for him because he views him as a nice guy, and therefore he's not going to be so insistent on getting the shtar back. Whereas when it comes to a mafkid and a nifkad, if I took a pikadon from you, and then I go and I return the pikadon to you, you ask me to watch something for you, and I go and I return it to you, I'm going to make sure that shtar, that I get that shtar back, because I don't know that I can trust you. You never did me any great tova, what, just because I rented something from you? So just because I rented something from a rental company, that means that you did me a great tova? No, you're running a business. You never did me any great tova, and therefore I don't have that understood trust in you. Okay, so that's the chiluk between where you can and cannot say a time of shtar chubiyadi my bayi. Says the Gemara Vayter, lema b'plukta dani tanai. Maybe this machlokas of this statement of Rav Chista rather is subject to a machlokas of tanaim, right? So meaning the point was Rav Amram, meaning who is Rav Chista? Rav Amram asked the shayla of Rav Chista that if the guy still has a shtar on the pikadon, can he say? Can the Nifkad say that he has returned the Pikadon already? Is he believed? So he said, yes, he's believed with a Migo that he could have said Na and Nas. So let's say that is subject to a Machlokas Tanayim. That halacha, that psak, is subject to a Machlokas Tanayim. How so? As follows. Titania, we have a Braisa, Shtar Kisa Yotzel Yisomim, Dayane Gola Amri, Nishba V'gova Kulo. If you have a shtar kiss that goes out against Yisomim, now what's a shtar kiss? A shtar kiss is a shtar that a guy had. Reuven gave money to Shimon, l'machzischar. He invested money in Shimon. Shimon had a business venture. Reuven invested money with Shimon. Now the way they worked out the deal is that it's chatzi mal v'chatzi pikadon. Right? That's what we assume, that when I invest money in you in order to avoid ribis problems, the best way to avoid the ribis problems is if we view this money as half loan and half pikadon. And that way, when you give me extra money, it could be as the money that I'm getting back is not for the loan part, it's for the pikadon part. And that way we avoid ribis issues. Right? So if you have a shtark, now the guy I gave the money to, I invested the money with, is gone. He died. And his children are left. So I want the money back from his children. So Dayanigola Amri Nishba Vagova Kulo. Dayanigola say, I could swear and take the whole thing. Meaning, the part that was a loan, so certainly I can collect. The issue is, what about the other part? What about the part that was a pikadon? So the chiddush is, the part that it's a pikadon, I could swear and collect. And Dayanigola say, no, you can only swear and collect half. The kuli alma islu dinardai. Now everyone assumes what we said. The army nardai hayiska palga milva palga pikadon. That when you have an iska arrangement, we view it as half loan, half pikadon. So what are they arguing about then? Whether you could be nishba and gova mechza or nishba and gova kula, the entire thing. So my love bahakam lithi. The marsava matsiyam li shtar chabiyadi my bayi. Marsava lo ami. One shita holds that I can say to the guy, look, obviously, he never returned the money because I still have a shtar. that says that he owed me the money. So if the father never returned the money, he never returned the pikadon, so you can't say, no, it was already returned. You're not believed with Migo that it could have said Nansu, because I have a shtar, shtar kol b'yadi my bayi, is Migo makom edim, however you want to say it, or it's just a raya against you, and therefore, I'm going to be believed in you, you have to give it back to me. And the other shita would say, no, there's no such thing as shtar kol b'yadi my bayi, there's no such taina. You say, like the Rashbam said at the bottom of the daf, that we just let you keep the shtar, my father just let you keep the shtar when he returned it, because you claimed that you lost the shtar, and that you didn't have it, and he thought that he'd always have the out of being able to claim nanas. But we think that our father returned it, and therefore you can't collect it. So that seems to be the machlokas, meaning this exact issue of this shayla that was asked Rav Chisda seems to be this machlokas between the Dayane Gola and Dayane Eretz Yisrael. So says Gemara, lo, the kuli alma isluhu Rav Chisda. No, maybe everyone really holds of Rav Chisda. V'hacha b'hacha mifli. But over here, the machlokas is as follows. The marsav remisa the pari meimar hava amar. No, over here the issue is, if the father paid it back, would the children have known about it? Would he have ever told his kids? So one shita says, look, if the father really paid it back, the kids should know. They shouldn't have to be relying on us making a taina for them that their father must have paid it back. Because if he paid it back, he would have told them, but on his deathbed, by the way, don't let this guy come and take money from you. I already took care of that. I already paid back the money. And the fact that he didn't say it is indicative of the fact that he didn't pay it back, and that's why the guy can collect all the money. Umar savar emar malachamav esudan say. Others say, well, what do you mean? Everyone knows exactly when they're going to die. So, you know, he has a schedule. Oh, I'm going to die in an hour. I better call my kids and tell them the money has been paid back. The guy got hit by a truck. He doesn't know. He has no idea when he's going to die. We can't always predict these things. So just because he never told his children anything is not a raya that he hasn't paid it back. So therefore, we can assume that maybe, in fact, he did pay back the money, and we can make the taina for those yesomim, and the other guy will not be able to collect that money. If you mafkid by it, you give a pikadon to someone with a shtar. And the guy says, meaning our case, and the guy says, I returned it to you already, not the case of yesomim. No, going back to our original case, right, where the guy is still alive. He says, I returned the money. Yes, you gave me a pikadon. I've returned it already. Ah, you have a shtar. I'm still believed. I'm still believed to say I returned it. Ushtar kisi, yotzei yesomim, nishpa v'gova kulam. And a shtar kis that's yotzei al yisomim, which is the same case except for with yisomim involved, so I can collect the guy who gave the pikadon can collect everything from the yisomim. So frankly, Mar Tati, isn't that a stira? Meaning, if you say that the person holding on to the pikadon is always believed to say he paid it back, so why don't we make that taina on behalf of yisomim? So he says, no, shiny hasam demisa depari meimar hava amar. No, we hold to that svara that if the father really paid it back, he would have told his kids that he paid it back, and so that they wouldn't have to deal with it. Fine. Rava Amar Hilchsa Nishba V'gova Mechza. Rava says that he can only collect half from the Yisomim. He swears, and he only gets to collect half. Amar Marzutra Hilchsa K'dayana Gola. Marzutra says, we paskin like the Dayana Gola. What did the Dayana Gola say? So again, the Dayana Gola were the ones on the top of the page that said Nishba V'gova Kulo. So Amar Le Ravina the Marzutra. Ravina says to Marzutra, Amar Rava Nishba V'gova Mechza. How could you say that we paskin like the Dayana Gola? Rava said Nishba V'gova Mechza, not Nishba V'gova Kulo. Samalai, Anan, the Dayane Gola, Ipchamasinuma. He said, yeah, I had the Shitos of Dayane Gola and Dayane Eretz Yisrael reversed. I thought the Dayane Gola said exactly what Rava said. You're telling me Dayane Gola said otherwise, that they said Gova Kulo? Okay, fine, then I don't pass like Dayane Gola, then I pass like the other people. I pass like whatever Rava said. Okay, just a reminder, I'm not here tomorrow and also Sunday. I'm not going to be here. So next year will be Be'ez Hashem Monday, and we're going to start with the fifth parak, I guess, on Monday. Thank you.